checking in with Jana Candler, realtor extraordinaire with Berkshire Hathaway C. Dan Joyner. Jana, what do you think you've learned since becoming a realtor?
I've learned that being a good realtor is answering your phone, getting back to people in a very timely manner, and basically just handling the transaction so that they have nothing to worry about. This job really isn't about selling. It's more about managing people and their expectations and basically just taking care of them.
Jana, what has made you successful over the past year?
One of the things that sets me apart is my ability to take care of people. This job really isn't about selling. It's more about managing people and helping them get to the closing line. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate in the upstate, call me, Jana Candler, with Berkshire Hathaway Seed and Joiner at 864-313-6990. And as always, go Tigers!
Tipsula Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. You want in, 654-767. People always complain you can't get in the show. You can get in right now. You know, Ramona, up above me on the monitor, they're debating whether Alshon Jeffrey is responsible for the Eagles losing to the Saints. First of all, that's utterly laughable. All right. The legend that is Nick Foles' magic played like crap for three quarters plus of that game. I mean, he completed some balls early, threw an interception, threw another ball that should have been picked, and didn't do anything for three quarters until, once again, a long missed field goal gave him the ball out near midfield. We don't know, even if Jeffrey had caught that ball, whether the Eagles would have gone on to score. But, I mean, is that a ball that Jeffrey normally catches? Yeah. But Jeffrey has been instrumental in all of the Eagles' success. There were plenty of fails to go around for the Eagles in that game. They had a 14-0 lead at one point and blew it. There are plenty of fails to go around. But look, also Jeffrey can play on my team. I'll say that. Tough as nails. He's the guy responsible for turning a lot of those Foles lollipop throws into completions because of his ability to high point and out physical DBs for the football. And you know what? That guy's teammates love him, and with good reason. He's a great player. And Foles deserves credit too for going to him immediately and letting him know, man, it just happens. Even to the best, it will happen. It will happen. So, the notion that that guy, Alshon Jeffrey, is responsible for them losing, to me, that's just laughable. It's laughable. He didn't make one play. You know, without him, you're not even there. Without him, you don't beat Chicago. And quite honestly, you don't win that game anyway. He's been an instrumental part of all of the Eagles' success. So there's that. We have a million things to get to in the National Football League, including the Kyler Murray situation. Kyler Murray now has a chance to become the first player ever drafted in round one of both drafts. And he apparently has made the decision to choose football. I am thrilled with that decision. You know, I was asked earlier by someone on the text line about Manziel. And do I think that, you know, there's any concern in that regard? No. Look, Manziel didn't fail from a football reason. Manziel failed from his personal demons. Manziel was good enough to play in the NFL, especially in a changing game. And when he got a chance to play, he actually played fairly well, especially for a guy who, you know, had no experience, was playing for a bad team at the time. But unfortunately, you know, he was consumed by his demons and never gave himself a chance. Kyler Murray is small, as I've said before, but I mean, he's 5'9". And I think it's a legitimate 5'9". I think that's what he is. But I think he perfectly fits the changing NFL game. And if a team will mold their offense around his skill sets, Texas Walt Murray's 5'10". He's not Russell Wilson. No, he's 5'9". He's not 5'10". Trust me, he's not anywhere near 5'10". But he's at least as good as Russell Wilson. I think significantly better than Russell Wilson, actually. And I think he'll prove that. He needs the right fit. He needs an NFL team that wants to draft him to build their offense around him. Because let me tell you something. Every time I watch the Kansas City Chiefs play, I think to myself, what would they look like if Kyler Murray was running that offense? And I think the answer is just as good. And that's not a criticism of Mahomes. I think Mahomes has historically elite talent. But I think Kyler Murray is as unique a player as we've ever seen. He has the fastest feet I have ever seen, ever. Quickest. There may be a quarterback or two historically you could beat him in a straight line, like maybe Michael Vick could beat him in a straight line, and maybe Lamar Jackson could beat him in a straight line. But when it comes to quickness, suddenness, no one's close. He has the quickest feet I've ever seen, and he has a shockingly strong arm for a guy his size. There's no NFL throw he can't make. I think people are going to wind up competing for him. There are lots of teams around the NFL that desperately need quarterbacks still. Some that may not want the quarterback that they have. You know, we talked last week about the Kingsbury comments in October where he suggested that if he had the number one pick, he would use it on Kyler Murray. Well, shockingly enough, he has the number one pick now. It's amazing how some of the things you say come back. And we'll find out. As I indicated, I heard Kingsbury on satellite radio late one night. It was a re-aired broadcast, I think. But he was discussing, I don't know if it was Pat Kerwin or who it was. He was discussing what he plans to do for Josh Rosen. What he plans to do for Rosen. I'm not sure whether that's just talk or whether that's real life and that franchise doesn't view themselves as having a need at the position anymore or content with the selection they made last year. Again, Rosen has an elite NFL arm. It's his intangibles that have always bothered me. That's why last year I liked him the least out of the available quarterbacks at the top. But I think Kyler Murray has a chance to change the way the game is played. Brad says, I'll dump Cam Newton for Murray all day long. I don't think you're the only one. Texas says, could team use Murray like the Saints do with Hill? No, you know, look, Hill, Taysom Hill is just an athletic freak. I mean, Taysom Hill is like 6'2 and a half, 230 pounds, and runs a legitimate 4.4. I mean, he's a freak athlete. And so he brings an entirely different dimension as a physical runner. I think Kyler Murray is going to be an NFL starter, and I think teams are going to build their offensive structure around him, much like they did in Kansas City. And if someone's willing to do that, I mean, think about this. Think about the New York Giants, all right? Think about what the New York Giants might look like if they instituted a Kansas City-style offense with Kyler Murray at quarterback. You have Saquon Barkley there already, who's brilliant catching the ball out of the backfield and remarkably explosive and poses opponents all sorts of issues. Do you know what you could do with the combination of Kyler Murray and Saquon Barkley? Think about, I mean, if I'm running an offense for Kyler Murray, it's going to look almost exactly like the Kansas City offense. and I'm going to use waggle passes and boots. I'm going to get them outside the pocket. I'm going to put extraordinary pressure on opposing defenses. But imagine if you were the Giants, per se, and you already had Saquon Barkley and you had all those receivers that the Giants have. Odell Beckham Jr., even Ingram, the tight end. Think about the weaponry that the Giants have that just hasn't been activated. And the possibility of what you could do with it if you were innovative and you had Kyler Murray. So, to me, I think there are going to be a lot of teams that are going to be in the Kyler Murray hunt. I think people are going to be intrigued to no end by his abilities. And I think they should be. Now, is there a death sentence out there for him somewhere? Yeah. I mean, there are some Neanderthal coaches out there and still some systems, maybe not as Neanderthal as Jeff Fisher's was with the Rams before the change was made and before Jared Goff was brought to life under McVay. But I wouldn't think those type of teams would be interested in Murray anyway. I would think anyone who drafts Murray is going to draft him with the notion that they're going to build their offense around him. And if they do that, I think they're going to be richly rewarded. And I was hoping against hope, Ramona, that this guy would choose football. And it was all selfish reasons. You know, you want to know the situation with Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is so desperate that Major League Baseball, the organization, was actually lobbying for Murray to choose baseball. They're so desperate for star power.
He would have just faded away.
Well, look, I don't know if his skills would have led him to fade away. I mean, I know he's a tremendously talented baseball player, but from an identification standpoint, the public does not identify with Major League Baseball players and their celebrity status the same way it does with football players or basketball players. It just doesn't. It's just not the way it is. So, you know, if that's important, if having a quarterback level celebrity is important, you're only going to find that in football. But I think he wants to prove that he can do it, too. I'm all about Kyler Murray right now. Absolutely. Texas says, I've read where Daniel Jones is the number two quarterback behind Haskins. With Kyler in the mix, no way I'm taking Daniel Jones before Murray. Yeah, you know, look, here's the thing. I don't love Daniel Jones. I get that he has all the historical traits that you would look for in an NFL quarterback. A lot of those traits are what we're moving away from. Now, Jones is an athlete. He's a pretty good athlete. He has a pretty good arm. He's 6'5". He's much more in the prototype build for the position. But I've expressed my concerns about Daniel Jones already. Daniel Jones, to me, is being force-fed to the top of the draft. I personally wouldn't consider drafting Daniel Jones in round one. It's not whether he can eventually make it. It's that, to me, he's just a guy who has traits. He's not done anything on the field. One of my biggest concerns about Daniel Jones is he's gotten worse. When you're playing under David Cutcliffe, who's an alleged quarterback guru, a quarterback whisperer, you should show marked improvement each and every year. He did not. Year one, off the top of my head, he was like 62%. From there, he went down. He went to like 56%. This year, he went back up to like 58 or 59. But those numbers are atrocious in today's offenses. And Duke, the focus of the Duke offense is the short passing attack. And so if an offense's focus is the short passing attack, and I have a quarterback whisperer in David Cutcliffe tutoring you, or then you would expect that your numbers would not only get better, but but you'd expect them never to drop below a certain point. And quite honestly, that point is 70%. Daniel Jones should have completed 70% of his passes in that offense. That's what that offense is designed for the quarterback to do. People will show these the singular throws that Daniel Jones makes. You can do that with anybody. You can pick out the highlight reel plays with anybody and make them look like one of the greatest players around. It's the game to game. It's the play to play consistency. And I just don't see it. He's inaccurate to me. And he's inaccurate in an offense that he shouldn't be inaccurate in. Now, look, do they have great talent on the outside? No. And if you want to excuse away some of his issues for that, I'll buy some of that. Again, there are elements of Daniel Jones I like. I like the fact he's 6'5". I like the fact that he has a pretty good arm. I like the fact that he's a plus athlete. But those are what are called traits, all right? He's not a finished product. He's not a guy that should be being talked about in the top 10. He's not remotely close to any of those guys and where they were a year ago. So to me, he's a guy with traits. And guys with traits should be taken in round 4 or later at the quarterback position. Now, he's being force-fed into that range. But I'm not drafting Daniel Jones in round 1. I think anyone who does draft Daniel Jones in round 1 is an idiot. You know, if you're at the back end of round 1 and you're looking to take a chance and your team is good enough that you can afford the luxury of making what I consider a reach-style pick, then maybe in that circumstance. But other than that, I don't see it. That is not direction that I would go with an early round 1 pick. Let me tell you about Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232, 269-1232. Look, Gilstrap does roofs. How bad has our weather been, Ramona, for like, I don't know, like 40 days? We get rain, wind, hail. We get it all. When's the last time you checked your roof? No one ever checks the roof. It's probably better that you don't from a safety standpoint. I mean, you probably even check your crawl space, but you never check your roof. We just sit there with our fingers crossed and hope nothing happens. Then one day we come home, we have spots on the ceiling or rain coming down inside, and you've waited too long. Gilstrap will give your roof a free checkup. If there's nothing wrong, that's exactly what they'll tell you, like they have so many others. If there's something wrong, they have licensed insurance adjusters on staff. Get it fixed. Gilstrap will be glad to help you. 269-1232, 269-1232. It's Gilstrap Roofing. Call them. Tell them I sent you. It's the way this deal works. Quick break. Walt Tiptula Road Rage.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
Quark here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
Brock here with Tom's Barbecue to let you know about our catering services. Tom's Barbecue caters to many corporate events and wants to help your business boost morale with a great meal to guarantee that your employees leave work happier and fuller. Choose from any of our catering packages or pick a la carte from our menu. You will even receive 25% off of your first order when you mention WCCP. So what are you waiting for? Call 864-288-2652. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
The new year is here, and the Mattress Outlet in Seneca is starting the year with huge clearance on mattresses in all sizes. Save up to an additional 10 to 60% on our already low pricing, and you still receive a free foundation with select mattress purchases or upgrade to an adjustable base. Start your new year's right with a new Beautyrest or Serta mattress today. The New Year's clearance at the Mattress Outlet in Seneca opens 7 days a week, located at the corner of the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A. Vehicle repairs can be a painful experience, from shops that overcharge to mechanics who don't know what they're doing. My Garage by Essex, with over 100 years of combined experience, is that vehicle repair shop you've always wanted. Specializing in computer diagnostics and engine repairs with a strong focus on preventative and scheduled maintenance, suspensions, brakes, heating and cooling. Call or stop by My Garage by Essex on Highway 93 in Clemson, 633-5800.
Westminster Vision is now opening a third location on Highway 28 in Pendleton next to State Farm Insurance. This new office will offer even more state-of-the-art medical eye care along with the professional one-on-one eyeglass service we are so proud of. There's a large selection of frames as well as all types of contact lenses, including specialty and custom designs. We'd like to thank our patients and customers who have made this possible. Come by and see us or call 654-4141 for an appointment.
At CarMax, when we say we buy all the cars, we mean it. Over the last 20 years, we've purchased millions of cars from coast to coast. In the last year alone, we've bought a mountain of Mercuries, an armada of Nissans, a ton of Titans, an ocean of Pacificas, and a sea of Siennas. Not to mention a few Hellcats and a couple of Tornadoes. So no matter what you're selling, CarMax is buying. And we'll buy your car even if you don't buy ours. CarMax, we buy all the cars.
No one's better than Walt Dabdula. Just ask him. It's Road Rage on 105.5 The Roar.
Excuse you, mister.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
When you wake up in the morning and the light has hurt your head.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're to be CCP 105.5, the Roar. Tester writes Denver. He asked me a question about a couple of quarterbacks, Daniel Jones and Locke, and who is better. I probably like Locke better, quite honestly. I don't love either one of those guys, but I probably like Locke better. And then he adds, Denver needs a legit quarterback, hoping for Haskins or Murray. Yeah, I mean, Denver desperately needs a quarterback, and that's the problem with the decision they made last year. I mentioned this. I heard Kwok and Kelly earlier today, and they said they were talking about Wilkes at Arizona and how he didn't get a fair shake based on the talent there. It's 100% right. You know, listen, you had coaches hired in Arizona and Denver were given 1 and 2 years respectively. Both of them were given train wreck situations. The Denver situation didn't appear to be as bad as Arizona's, but in some ways it was. In some ways it was worse because Denver was locked in the division with two of the rising powers in Kansas City and San Diego and expected to beat them with like no talent and a walk-on quarterback. I mean, neither one of those guys ever had a chance. I don't have any idea whether Steve Wilkes or Vance Joseph can lead a pro football team. I don't know. And at this rate, we're never going to know. To blame Wilkes for what happened in Arizona is tragic. It's just total scapegoating. You know, again, I heard that hierarchy being interviewed, and they talked about the fact that they made an enormous mistake, but trust us, we're not going to make another one. And then they went out and hired Cliff Kingsbury. Now, I don't know if the Kingsbury thing is going to work or not. My first inclination is probably not. But regardless of whether it does or not, it's another wild hire. And what does it say about you that you hire a guy? What does it say about you and your judgment that you would hire a guy and be forced to fire him within a year? Well, it speaks to your incompetence, not his. Listen, you could have dug up Vince Lombardi and made him the coach of Arizona, and he wasn't winning anything with the scrub talent that was left. There's no way. It's an absolute absurdity. Now, unless Wilkes did something off field from a character standpoint, but I think we would have heard about that. No, I think these dolts just think that they thought initially they made a great hire, apparently, and then less than a year later, they think that Wilkes is like the worst football coach on earth and that they need to move immediately away. All that speaks to is their incompetence. It doesn't speak to Wilkes, to Wilkes's acumen or his ability. There is no way on God's green earth anyone can fairly judge what Steve Wilkes did in Arizona. Just as there is no way to fairly judge Vance Joseph. Again, John Elway thought that was a great hire. Denver's problems are related to John Elway. Just as Arizona's problems are related to upper management and ownership there. Those are the problems, not those two guys. Again, I don't know whether Wilkes or Vance Joseph could be a good head football coach. Apparently, we're never going to know. Because neither one of them was given a fair shot at all, in any way, shape, or form. Impossible. Nobody was taking that talent in winning, given what those teams were up against. Nobody. It's laughable. And so when these hierarchies who made these hires then flip on them immediately, Like almost giving the natives a human sacrifice. That's on them. That speaks to their knowledge. That doesn't speak to the ability or lack thereof of Wilkes or of Vance Joseph. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. And it's embarrassing. And it should be embarrassing to those people. I mean, here's the deal. If you're a general manager, regardless, I don't know who's in charge of the hierarchy, how exactly it goes in the individual situations. But if you're a GM, all right, in Arizona, or the owner, anybody involved in the hiring of Wilkes, right? And you bring in Wilkes, and without legal issues regarding him, a year later you fire him, you're the incompetent one. Every bit of that speaks to your incompetence. None of it speaks to his. None of it. Again, maybe if Wilkes and Joseph each get a fair shot somewhere, maybe we'll learn that neither one of them could coach. But as of now, we don't have any idea. We have no way of knowing. All we know is that both of them were very hot commodities on the defensive coordinator market after being dismissed. Big Bad Bob. Bob, how are you?
Happy New Year, Walt. Thanks for letting me in your household there.
Thank you, Bob.
I've got an NFL draft question, and so I'm going to go to the one person that came in number two in the whole report and would have come in number one if his information sources had come through. I saw an article that kind of shocked me, but they made some good arguments on it. The argument said that the Patriots were thinking about or trying to get Kyler Murray, and they're argument was that Russell Wilson is showing that quarterbacks this high can make it because he may be the highest paid quarterback next year, $35 million, and Baker Mayfield is doing well. But do you think there's any credibility in that at all?
Sure.
About going to the Patriots?
Absolutely. I mean, because, again, I think the Patriots would find innovative ways to utilize all of Kyler Murray's ability when he succeeds Brady. I mean, I think they would change what they do and morph what they do and get the most out of all his abilities. And the Patriots desperately need a quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly possible. The question is, how far you have to move to get him. That's what we're about to find out. You know, all along, I believed that if Kyler Murray declared for the NFL draft, there was a legitimate chance that he could be a late round one draft prospect. I think given what he's done, even what he did against Alabama as that game went on, and given the desperate nature of teams to solve quarterback situations and the changing nature of the game, I think there could be a bit of a fight for Kyler Murray. He's the only guy worth fighting for there in my mind, because in the worst case scenario, maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe it's all a fail. Right. But in the best case scenario, he could be truly special. And if you could just imagine and then create the right kind of offense around him, it's almost hard to imagine him failing. And therefore, I think that, I'm not going to have any duel to get Drew Locke. I'm not going to have any duel to get Will Greer. I'm not going to have any duel to get Daniel Jones. But I think there could be a number of teams that are willing to fight for Kyler Murray.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the Patriots said they're going to have to go up. So his stock is kind of like Baker Mayfield coming out last year. But the Patriots, imagine being mentored. I heard you say a while ago they need a quarterback to build a team around. That's what they've got right now. Tom Brady, and he's got his Edelman's healthy. But, you know, there are no superstars there. But you were talking about James White and Michelle playing together, things like that. I mean, they come up with this stuff, the Patriots do. I'm not a big fan of the Patriots. I'm not a big fan of the NFL, but I was hoping that they would play in Foxborough this week, and I was going to see if Craig would go, because I knew they would go to the Super Bowl. He would pull it.
That's true.
But they're going to be playing in frozen Kansas City.
Yeah.
Probably 0 degrees and snow. Great show. Pulling for you for the Huddle Report, Walt.
Yep. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. Clemson Tim says, if Kingsbury takes a second, third round graded guy at one, his tenure will be short-lived, or he'll look like a genius if Kyler Murray proves legit. Yeah, well, that's right. And again, I think Murray's going to be a round one guy. I think the fascination with the way the game is changing and his insane skills will lead him to being a round one pick. And I've always felt that was likely. And now I think that, again, I think you're going to have a number of teams that will do battle for. Look, again, Drew Locke is not worth fighting for, all right? Daniel Jones, to me, is not worth fighting for. The notion of fighting for Daniel Jones as a top 10 pick, of having multiple teams positioning to get Daniel Jones, is utterly laughable to me. I mean, I can see teams positioning to get Deshaun Watson. I could certainly see teams positioning to get Patrick Mahomes, because Mahomes is exactly what I thought he was going to be. I could see moving to get guys of that nature. I could see moving to get Baker Mayfield. I could see moving to get Josh Allen. But I cannot see moving to get Daniel Jones. I just don't. I don't view Daniel Jones as in that class of player, and I'm not sure how anybody does. And I get why scouts like Daniel Jones. I get why, because he has traits. But as I said, that's not the way the quarterback position generally works. Quarterbacks with traits, or guys with traits, get drafted in the second half of the draft. They don't get drafted in the top 10 picks. This is the insanity of the quarterback position. We're back to force feeding it. Even Haskins. Haskins has fundamentally played 1 year. There are a lot of things to like about Haskins. He has a big arm. He's been very accurate. He has quiet feet in the pocket. There are a lot of things to like about Haskins. But the concern I would have is that there's also an Akili Smith element to Haskins, which is fundamentally a guy who basically played 1 year. And it's not a lot to go on. I would still draft him. I have viewed him as a top 10 player all along and have said that. I would still draft him. But I'm not going to be making any moves for Daniel Jones. If I need a quarterback and Daniel Jones falls in my lap, then I might have to consider him. But to me, it's more an act of desperation. This stuff about, I mean, we're talking about drafting Daniel Jones higher than Deshaun Watson was drafted. That's what people are talking about. I'm sorry. If you think Daniel Jones is the player that Deshaun Watson is, you're an idiot. You just are. Yes, there are physical attributes and position guidelines, but those guidelines and attributes at the quarterback position are changing. And what kills me with Jones, again, is these people will pick out one throw. They'll show him throw a fade and it'll be on target and they'll say, this is why he's an NFL player. Well, you know what? Then sit down and watch two games of film with me and I'll show you 100 situations that show you why he's not. And that's the dilemma. That's the dilemma I have with Daniel Jones. He is maddeningly inconsistent. And that's not what you're looking for with a top 10 quarterback. Listen, when you draft a quarterback in the top 10, you are basically saying, this guy can come in here and start today. I think part of it's the Cutcliffe stuff. I think it's the Manning connection. It's the Cutcliffe stuff. It's the belief in that. The problem is that if Cutcliffe has already worked his magic on a guy who's in his third year, why has there been no improvement? None. In fact, all there is regression. Why Crude LED? Our products make a difference. A difference in daily cost of operation with lower electric bills and less maintenance for a better lit parking lot, a more productive office, a safer workspace, happy customers. Why Crude LED? Because we do all the paperwork to process your eligible Duke Energy rebates and credit them off your cost of installation up front. Why Crude LED? Innovation and experience that delivers just the right products with easy installation using the latest technology. If you're a contractor, an electrician, you need Crude on your side. They are the designers. They are the innovators. They are leading this industry. Call Crude LED today. 864-401-8156. 864-401-8156. Or email them at sales@crute-led.com. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. Quick break. Get on in. 654-7627.
Whether you're looking for a quick lunch, celebrating a special occasion, or just want a great dinner with friends, Carson's is your place. Featuring hand-cut steaks from their in-house butcher, fresh-baked yeast rolls, and all the peanuts you can eat. Open every day. Enjoy happy hour Monday through Saturday, 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. with discounted appetizers, beer, wine, and cocktails. Try the golden fried catfish sandwich, filet mignon, or smoked ribs today. View their full menu online at carsonsteakwarehouse.net. Carson's Steak Warehouse and Saloon.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Taj Boyd with an update on Lakeside Lodge Clemson, Clemson's first condo hotel. Now under construction, Lakeside Lodge offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos starting from the mid-200s. You can use it whenever you want and rent it when you're away. It's that easy. With top-notch amenities like housekeeping, food and beverage services, and lake access, Lakeside Lodge will provide the ultimate Clemson experience. Hurry, because these condos are selling fast. Come see me at our sales office at 906 Tiger Boulevard next to Ruby Tuesday.
Have you ever looked at your carpet after a cleaning and thought, man, what is that gunk and residue they left behind? Do you worry about the harsh chemicals that cleaning companies use that could harm your loved ones? Well, worry no more. Zero Res is the standout carpet cleaner brand you can count on. Their patented no-residue cleaning system leaves no man behind on your beautiful home. Call today at 864-588-7300. Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
The bus is on us. The Cat Bus is free to ride. It doesn't matter if you're a student, a senior citizen, or an alumni in town for a game. You can take advantage of what the Cat Bus has to offer. Like getting you in and out of downtown Clemson hassle-free for a bite to eat, some shopping, or saving you money instead of riding around looking for a place to park. Take a Cat Bus today to downtown Clemson for a bite to eat, or just doing some shopping with retailers and restaurants. Cat Bus. The bus is on us.
Hendrick Honda Easley, located in the heart of the upstate at the base of the majestic Blue Ridge Mountains, the perfect location to cruise in your new Honda while enjoying panoramic mountain views. Just a quick drive from anywhere in the upstate, Hendrick Honda Easley's got the charming small-town feel with hidden gems to see and explore along the way. Escape the everyday at HendrickHondaSC.com. Experience the Hendrick Honda difference in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway. Hendrick Honda Easley, the shining light on top of the hill.
At CarMax, when we say we buy all the cars, we mean it. Over the last 20 years, we've purchased millions of cars from coast to coast. In the last year alone, we've bought a mountain of Mercuries, an armada of Nissans, a ton of Titans, an ocean of Pacificas, and a sea of Siennas. Not to mention a few Hellcats and a couple of Tornadoes. So no matter what you're selling, CarMax is buying. And we'll buy your car even if you don't buy ours. CarMax, we buy all the cars.
No one knows sports like Walt knows sports. It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
You know, there is a fine line between being eccentric and being rude.
Now back to Walt and Ramona.
Walter Tula Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. I don't know who this Daniel Swanson is. I just saw Will Vandervoort retweet this. I don't know who Daniel Swanson is, but he wrote, saw Dabo at the Lincoln Memorial today. Asked him who was tougher, Bama or Notre Dame. He responded with, well, I think Notre Dame was tougher. We scored more points against Bama. Now, if that's true, man, is that going to tick some people off in Bama? If that's true, and this breaks the boundaries of this guy's Twitter page and gets picked up, man, are the Bama people going to hate that? Them, you know,
did they just give him their
Bear Bryant Award for the third time? Yeah, the Bama people the Bama people are not going to like Coach Sweeney is telling people that Notre Dame was tougher than they were. But, you know, look, we sort of suggested that here. We said the same thing. We said, and remember I said, Ramon, I said in a way, and I said if you consider that Julian Love didn't play in that second quarter when Clemson did most of their damage, you could make that argument to an even greater degree. But, you know, it's one thing if I'm saying that. If Coach Sweeney actually said that, you know, hey, look, that may be a response to copycat plays.
In front of the Lincoln Memorial also. Yeah.
Well, then you know it's true. Because Abe would never tell a lie either.
He wouldn't like that.
I know he wasn't involved in any cherry trees. That was George. But yeah. but allegedly.
You had to say that because you know it's your text line.
Yeah, someone will write me and say that, right. So I had to offer that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have the guy who, you know, mentions that I called the Los Angeles Chargers San Diego.
You can't help it.
I just may call them San Diego forever, whether you like it or not. How about
just
that?
Just to bother them.
Yeah, you know, San Diego. But it's, if Coach Sweeney actually said that, this, you can almost guarantee that if this is a real quote, that it is going to find the rest of Twitter. And it'll eventually leak itself to Alabama fans, you know, who are probably like a week behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be delivered by conventional mail.
We haven't heard from Paul and his daughter.
Oh, that's right.
You know, yes. Maybe they've gone into like seclusion.
That's true. They could be.
They're on watch.
They could be deep in the forest.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Paul. Paul probably would call, even so, after what happened. But I don't know if his daughter would call.
Yeah, well, you know.
I think she'd be more upset than Paul.
Well, you know, remember the photo of his daughter that was up on
Twitter? Yeah, that one, his daughter. That was mean. And he said that the people at church were making fun of him because of that photo.
Yeah.
The people at his church make fun of him a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, that's the way it works when you're a part of this show. The Isaiah Simmons count is on. Again, he has till midnight to file his paperwork. You know, I have heard that it's likely that he returns, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, I think that Isaiah Simmons is an enormous factor for Clemson next year in trying to figure out who they are and what they are defensively, losing as many pieces as Clemson will lose. Look, I think there are a lot of good players waiting in the wings. And I think in some areas, Clemson's actually, believe it or not, going to get better. But nonetheless, there are some significant losses. I mean, some historical losses. You don't lose Wilkins and Lawrence and get better. You know, as I've said before, in the history of football, there are very few, if any, defensive tackle combinations that were close to that. Quite honestly, from a talent ability standpoint, the only one that I can think of, and again, you get into this issue of odd even fronts and that type of thing, and there have been some Alabama teams that have had multiple good defensive linemen in their odd front base. But the only combo I can think of that would have been comparable would have been Tennessee's Albert Haynesworth and John Henderson. Those two cats played together at Tennessee. And now the problem there was that Albert didn't make many plays. You know, Albert basically played in the shadow of John Henderson when he was at Tennessee. And then, of course, eventually Albert became the better player when he wanted to be the better player. You know, when he was in a contract drive or whatever, Albert was the greatest defensive player in the league. But that's the only combo that I can think of that is similar. And so when you lose those two guys, there's nobody who could replace those two guys. First of all, there's not another human being of a similar age that is in any way comparable to what Dexter Lawrence is. There just isn't. And Wilkins was not only a great player, but he was a great leader. And so that the loss of those two guys, don't kid yourself, they're going to be hard to replace. Now, Clemson has talent still at the defensive tackle spots, but trust me, when you come back next year, people are going to test you inside. They're going to find out if you're still as stout against the run, and you're not going to be. You're not going to be as stout against the run. Just aren't. And you know what? Never will be again. No one's ever going to have those two guys again. I don't think. I mean, Clemson keeps out-recruiting themselves. There's no 380-pound version of Dexter Lawrence. You're not going to out-recruit those two guys. It's impossible in my mind. Clemson's had, obviously, a ton of defensive line talent and is funding the National Football League level. My point is, that's a historically unique combination. And so that's going to be an area where you're not going to be as good. You're just not. And obviously there are a lot of losses defensively. I think the edge guys are going to be just as good. I think Xavier Thomas is going to be every bit as good as a Cleveland Farrell or better, quite honestly. So, I think Henry is going to be an elite talent as well. But one of the losses that would concern me in looking ahead to next year would be Isaiah Simmons. If he's coming back, I feel a lot better about filling in those other issues, knowing I don't have to worry about that spot. Knowing I don't have to find another Dorian O'Daniel, Isaiah Simmons. And I think Simmons got better and better as the year went on. And I think he could be in demand from a pro standpoint because of his versatility. You know, it depends how they view it, you know, because again, I think people at one point, there were people who thought Dorian O'Daniel was a round one talent. You know, Kansas City, I think, made a wise choice. He was viewed as a bit of a tweener, but I think it's paid off. But, you know, in terms of Isaiah Simmons, I just think he would be a difficult guy to replace next season, which is why you hope you don't lose him. Text says, does this mean Clemson becomes more of a we will outscore you type of team? To an extent, yeah. I mean, if you ask me right now, going into next year, what will be the strength of the team? I think it'll be the offense. Because the offense might be the best in the country. And even considering what Mitch Hyatt has meant to this school, I think you plug in Jackson Carman and Gage Cervenka, and I'm not sure you're going to lose anything. So, I mean, you lose some continuity, some starts. But I think the offense next year is going to be historically great. In a way, Clemson is actually going to look a little bit like this year's Alabama team in that I think the offense is going to do historically great things and the defense will look fine statistically, but we won't know till the end how they'll really hold up. Because I don't think they're going to be as good. Again, I feel better if Isaiah Simmons comes back. A lot better. A lot better. So every Clemson fan should be watching that thing till midnight. Let me get basketball David in here. David, how are you?
Good, Walt. How you doing?
Good, David. Appreciate you getting in.
Yeah, thanks for the line. Just wanted to call you and see what happened to your Twitter on this weekend.
David, I'm not going to have this conversation on there.
Well, I was just curious, Walt. I was trying to have a conversation on Twitter, and I didn't know what happened.
No, well, David, again, I just told you I'm not going to have it on air.
Well, I mean,
you want to talk basketball? Then go ahead.
Well, that's what I was saying. I just wanted to come out, Walt. All I've heard is how wrong I was last year about this team, and we were going to be wrong again, and the only thing I've heard all year is excuses of why Clemson's not good.
Yeah.
I just want to get to the bottom of it. Well, is it there's excuses or is it, you know, you just might have been wrong once?
Well, no, clearly I was wrong. As I've said, clearly I was wrong. So if that's what you're hoping for, you got it. I was wrong. I was 100% wrong about what I thought Clemson would be.
All right.
I think that Shelton Mitchell and his health has played a part in it? Yeah. Is that something I could have foreseen? Yeah, probably.
Well, no, I don't know that. I don't know that it's something you could have foreseen because, I'll be honest, I had Kansas as one of the top two teams, and I couldn't have foreseen Azubuike going down.
Yeah, but that's a little different because that's a spur of the moment injury. The Mitchell situation has been an ongoing problem that I knew of its existence, and I knew it wouldn't get better. I didn't necessarily know it would get worse, and I just thought that he would play much better than he has.
I'm just curious, well, and I'm not trying to hang something, but is it similar to the Tiger Woods thing? How do you get older and get healthier? Like, how does it?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to improve.
Is he ever going to get healthier?
No, I don't think he is. I agree. Let me just say, this is my opinion. All right. I haven't talked to him. I base this on the conversations that I've had on air with Brad Brownell and the things he has said about it and that type of thing. And based on what my eyes are telling me, my eyes are telling me, I go back and I watch the Duke game a couple years ago, the game at Cameron, and he killed Duke. He pushed the ball. He was quick. He looked great. I watch him this year. He's just not that guy. It's like all of his freedom of movement has slowed down, and he's not pushing the ball, and so Clemson's not getting any early offense, and that was one of the things I liked about this team. Well,
yeah, no, absolutely. So tell me this, Walt, why do they keep going to him? I think you're going to see Newman play more.
Yeah, I think you're going to see Newman play more as the year goes on. As I said earlier, I don't think they're going to have a choice.
I mean, I think Trapp has actually surprised some people.
Yes, he surprised me. I think he's a guy clearly an offensive player.
Play him more.
Yeah, I think he's a guy who clearly went home in the offseason and worked on his shooting because, you know, it's often a sign I look for in players. Do they get better in the offseason? That shows a work ethic, and I think he did. So I think you're going to have to see more of them, because – I just think that Shelton has limitations now in terms of what he can do. And certainly, you know, he has those limitations on the defensive end, too, when it comes to leveling guys off. This isn't a one side of the court issue. And look, they always had that issue. They always knew that they had to cover up for him a little bit on the defensive end. But, you know, what concerns me now is I'm much more concerned about the offensive end.
Yeah. No, I'd buy that. And I know you're up against the wall. I just wanted to see what you thought of Cam Reddish kind of stepping up for Duke in the Florida State game.
Yep. Good job, David. Thank you. Yeah, Reddish absolutely stepped up big in the absence of Zion Williamson in that game. We'll talk about it on the other side. Walt Tiptoe, Road Rage, quick break.
Safely in the Priority One studios, we are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.